And welcome in, everybody, to Sports Talk. Scott Beatty here with you as Illinois volleyball falls in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State. Final score there in four sets, 25-23, 18-25, 25-17, 29-27. Illinois survived several match points there in the fourth set but could not close it out. Congratulations, though, to the Illini finishing the season 23-11. Congratulations as well to Dave Lone, another great year of broadcasts, and Chris Thomas in his first year as head coach. They have nothing to hang their heads over. And even though this one will sting for a little bit, a good season for Illinois volleyball back in the NCAA tournament. Coming up here, we will check in with the beat writer for the Las Vegas Sun, Mike Grimala. He covers UNLV Runnin' Rebels, gives a little taste of what's to come for Illinois basketball tomorrow night when they play out in the desert. Bob Osmussen also slated to stop by. A couple of quick headlines. A major headline today in the rest of the world of sports and baseball is that Japanese star Shohei Ohtani is bringing his arm and bat to the LA Angels. The Cubs were in the running for him, but he will play with two-time MVP Mike Trout. His agent says the 2016 Japanese MVP felt a true bond with the Angels. Angels will have to pay $20 million to the Nippon Ham Fighters, but not a huge salary. Ohtani is a pitcher, 3-2 with a 3.20 ERA in Japan, and was slowed by thigh and ankle injuries. And yeah, just also hit 3.32 in 65 games with 8 homers and 31 RBIs. Meanwhile, the Derby for Giancarlo Stanton will not include the St. Louis Cardinals, as Matt Daniels, sports editor of the News Gazette, has just stopped in wearing his Cardinals hat in sign of solidarity or mourning or what?
My daughter gave it to me this morning and just had it on the rest of the day. So, yeah, that's the reason for that. But, yeah, it's kind of disappointing news if you're a Cardinals fan that Stanton is not waiving his no-trade clause. But then again, the Cardinals historically have never really shelled out these huge, expensive contracts. I know they've, in the past, to some key players, gotten them very long contracts. But the type of money that Giancarlo Stanton is commanding, that's pretty unprecedented for the Cardinals, and we'll see what happens here.
John Mozeliak said there was an agreement to acquire him from the Marlins, but was told Stanton won't accept the deal. I know one thing he said is he did not want to be a part of a rebuild. I wouldn't exactly call the Cardinals a rebuild, but it's clear that Stanton wants to win, and who knows where he will end up. He's had talks with several other teams that were playoff contenders, so remains to be seen where he'll land.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants were kind of the front runners early on, and he's a California native, so we'll see what happens there. But it's definitely a hot stove season in Major League Baseball.
All right, an abbreviated sports talk for you. We're taking you till 6 o'clock back after this.
It's Illini women's basketball against Detroit Mercy on Sunday at 2. Scott Beatty and Mike Kuhn have the play-by-play action coming up Sunday at 2 on DWS.
30 degrees at 5:41 on Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with you until 6 o'clock. Illinois basketball tomorrow night, a late start. It will be an 11 p.m. tip-off local time in the desert as they take on the Runnin' Rebs of UNLV. Joining us from the Las Vegas Sun is Mike Grimala. He covers UNLV basketball program. Mike, thanks for joining us. I assume it's a lot warmer where you are.
Yeah, it's very nice. I'm actually I'm at the dog park right now. It's just beautiful.
Well,
sorry about that. I don't want to rub it in.
Well, we won't hold it against you. But this UNLV team is starting to climb the charts a little bit in RPI and that kind of thing, and has played some close ball games and took Arizona and went toe to toe with them. How do you size up a young team that has a big lottery pick in Brandon McCoy?
Well, it's been quite a turnaround this season. UNLV, they bottomed out last season. They brought in a new coach, Marvin Menzies, in the offseason. It was sort of a messy process late in the season, so their recruiting class deserted them, and rightfully so. And, you know, they had to sort of scramble to bring in 8 or 9 new players last year. They were scraping junior colleges and Division II junior colleges and just really, late signees, anyone they could find. And they set a program low with they went 11-21, which is the worst in program history. And then this year, they brought in Brandon McCoy, a couple other big recruits, and they've completely turned it around so far. And it's just a completely different team. They're running up the floor. They play at one of the fastest paces in the country. McCoy is a good finisher down low. Their guard play is much improved. So it's really been night and day from last year to this year.
Wins over Utah, Rice, the overtime losses to Northern Iowa and Arizona, and just beat Oral Roberts. That wasn't much of a challenge. As good as they are down low, how is the perimeter for this team?
Well, it's interesting. A couple of Chicago kids in the backcourt. It's Jordan Johnson and Jovan Morin. They're both fifth-year seniors, so they're experienced, and they're a little undersized. But, you know, two tough kids, they can shoot it, they can put it on the floor. But for a team that's pretty much young everywhere else, it's the backcourt, the two experienced Chicago guys that are sort of the heart of the team when it comes to, you know, defensive toughness and sort of giving them that gritty edge that they want to play with. So those two guys to watch with, you know, taking charges, grabbing important rebounds, that kind of thing. That's where those two guys contribute.
Talking with Mike Grimmela of the Las Vegas Sun. He covers UNLV basketball.
Hey, Mike, this is Matt Daniels with the News Gazette here in Champaign. And Brad Underwood at Illinois likes to get the ball up and down the court. UNLV obviously likes to do the same. So is it kind of the first team to hit 80 or 90 or 100 tomorrow night that ends up winning?
It might be. That was something that, you know, we asked Coach Menzies and some of the players this week was, you know, Illinois, it's another team that's in the top 20 in possessions per game. It's a fast-paced team. We said, you know, with the, you know, obviously you guys like, you know, playing up and down. What is it like when another team comes in with that style? And, you know, the players kind of smiled and said, you know, those are the kind of games they'd like to play in. Like a team like Northern Iowa, you know, sort of dragged them down into the muck, and it was a low possession game and very slow, and they lost that one in overtime. But a team like Arizona or Illinois that's going to run up and down the court with them and play that fast pace, that's how they want to play. I think they like that challenge of, you know, that's you bring your A game, we'll bring our A game, and, you know, we'll see who comes out on top. So I think they embrace, you know, that tempo and having that identity of a, you know, a upcourt team.
Obviously, they faced Arizona and came away with a close 3-point loss. And facing a team out of the Big Ten, just what's kind of their motivation for this week? Is it a chance to really kind of, you know, set themselves apart and kind of gain a marquee win against a Power 5 opponent at all?
That's exactly it. UNLV, they have a very small margin for error. There are some hopes for an at-large berth in the NCAA tournament. Everyone, you know, on the team and the coaches and the players, that's sort of their goal. They want to make the NCAA tournament. Mountain West is, the last couple of years, has been a one-bid league. So there's a very small margin for error for, you know, being an at-large team. They lost at Northern Iowa in overtime. They lost at home to Arizona in overtime. Two wins that would have helped them. Were they able to get them? And Illinois is the last team on the non-conference schedule that's sort of a, you know, a top 100 quality team that they can, you know, use to build a resume. So it's a win that they really want to get from that perspective. They think it might help them at the end of the year if it comes right down to it. And, you know, that's the goal of making the tournament. And this is sort of the last chance to build that resume.
How assumed is it that Brandon McCoy will go to the NBA after this year?
It seems pretty certain. I don't think no one really expects him to be around for a second year, especially with the start that he's had. He's sort of exceeded. I mean, everyone expected him to be a one and done, and then he's come in and exceeded expectations. You know, he's 20 points, 11 rebounds, a couple of blocks per game. His conditioning is much improved. Like he's exceeded expectations. There's really nothing that would pull him back to college at this point. So yeah, I think he's pretty much the definition of a one and done.
I hate to bring up a tragedy, but it's such a thing that rocked the nation in the shooting that happened on October 1st. How's the basketball program dealt with it, acknowledged it during the season, or is it more of a let's move on with life and not let it hold us back?
You know, it was more, but at that point when the tragedy happened, basketball hadn't officially started yet. They were still a couple weeks out from, you know, the start of practice, so they weren't as visible in the city. You know, it was more, you know, it was football season at that point, and it was the UNLV football team that was sort of more visible from that perspective. But, you know, it affects everyone here. You know, the players and the coaches, even the guys that aren't from here. A lot of players that come to UNLV from around the country end up staying here. I mean, you can difficult to count the number of players that have ended up, you know, making their homes here. So it's a for Las Vegas has a reputation as a big city, but it's really a small community of locals. And so, I mean, everyone feels it. The coaches were obviously distraught. But, I mean, at this point, they're a couple months out. Players get pretty locked in during the season. I think that's, for the most part, that's something that they've not put behind them, because you don't want to, you know, forget about something like that. But they're pretty good at focusing on, you know, the games and on the season. And there hasn't been too much straying from that since, you know, since tip-off.
Well, we appreciate your thoughts on that, and our hearts go out to you and the entire Las Vegas community as well. An unspeakable tragedy. On that note, we do have to let you go, Mike, and we do appreciate your time. And let's do it again. You know, these two teams seem to connect every year or two, so it'd be good to talk with you again. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that's Mike Grimala from the Las Vegas Sun. Brad Underwood talked with the media today and acknowledged apparently there's been a players-only meeting to address. He didn't disclose any details because he obviously wasn't there, but to address the lack of energy that the Illini have been coming out with lately. So we'll see if that sparks anything in the desert.
And he's talked about that a few times this season, just wants them to come out and play with more enthusiasm, more emotion right from the get-go. You know, he mentioned the other night with Maryland in town, he could kind of hear them and their locker room and them wanting to kind of beat down the door to get on the court, and especially after a lackluster showing on Wednesday night against Austin Peay and a pretty bad basketball game by all accounts. Low energy, it seemed, from both teams. Poor shooting, poor ability to take care of the ball, and anything they can do to get going, especially early, I'm sure he's all for any suggestions.
We'll step aside for a moment. When we come back, Bob Osmussen will check in with us. We'll get the world according to him. It's Sports Talk on Friday. Degrees, 5:53 on Sports Talk. Big headlines of the day. Illinois volleyball loses in four sets to Michigan State and bows out in the Sweet 16. They played that match out at Penn State, so Michigan State will advance to face Penn State, and there will be at least one Big Ten representative in the Final Four on Thursday night. And Shohei Ohtani, Japanese baseball star, is going to play for the LA Angels. Him and Mike Trout. That'll be a good tandem. Bob Osmussen is here. He joins me and Matt Daniels for The World According to Bob. How are you, sir, on this Friday?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. The AP College Football Awards came out, and I feel like those are the Golden Globes of college football awards, and the Heisman's the Oscars. And it was Baker Mayfield that won that for the Player of the
Correct.
Year. Correct. So I don't know. You, I know you're a voter, so I don't know
I
what you can say. You don't know the results anyway.
I can't tell you who voted. How we have voted, but I can tell you what's going to happen. Baker Mayfield is going to win and then run away.
Is he going to do anything stupid tomorrow night?
Maybe it doesn't matter. He's already won, so they already voted, but he's going to win. I can tell you who I voted for, but I promise he'll win. Landslide. One of the biggest wins of all time, because he separated himself from everybody else.
Yeah.
There's not an obvious number two either, in my mind. Bryce Love is going to get a lot of votes. I think Mark Jackson could get a lot of votes. Beyond that, I'm not sure what's going to
happen. Does it matter what Baker Mayfield did off the field or
not
any of his
all.
Antics or anything
no,
like that?
No, not one bit.
Okay.
Look at all the past winners.
Yeah.
Not a lot of choir boys in that group, so no. It doesn't matter.
Hey, look at the president. It doesn't really matter anymore. What
he did on the field is what matters. He was great. He was exceptional. I like them in the playoffs. I like them to win the whole thing.
Why?
Him. Frankly, him and the way they're playing now, the way they finished the season, the new coach motivated. Everything's going well for them. I like them. I like them beating Georgia and then Clemson beating Alabama, then Oklahoma beating Clemson.
So
I may change my mind.
Oklahoma and Clemson in the national title
That's
game.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird.
Oklahoma-Alabama, Bob.
That's probably fair.
I got
too.
Bama winning it all.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I like the college football playoff concept, but it's still weird to see two non-Big Ten Pac-12 teams in the Rose Bowl.
That's all right. It's just eventually it's going to happen. Jim Harbaugh came out for a 16-team playoff. You know, I always liked him some because he's so weird and crazy, but that makes me like him better. 16 would be great. I don't think they'll ever get there. I think they'll go to 8 very soon, and they should. Because 8 would give a team like Central Florida a shot in being in.
Yeah, you're right, and they'll never get a Central Florida. You know,
has no chance.
Houston a couple of years ago. Right. Anyone really outside the Power Five has no chance to win a national title. No
I agree that Ohio State did not belong in the Final Four, but
I think how bad?
But they didn't.
Well, they didn't make it. I don't. I think that was wrong. I think the committee screwed that up.
Why?
I just like their wins. I like their. I like their body of work. Was better than Alabama's. Alabama didn't beat anybody.
Okay, but they should it go to? But
doesn't count.
How much is it a black mark on the Big Ten not to have anybody?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Big Ten's really good in football. They're going to be really good in football forever. And I don't think one year is a blip. I think I'll bet you right now, Big Ten is a team in the Final Four next year, maybe two.
Okay. Well, that's the problem with the 14 playoff is they have five power conferences. So you're always going to have, no matter what, one team go out. But this is the first year since the playoff system started that they have two teams from the same conference.
Right.
So then again, it begs the question, is do these conference title games mean anything?
No, they absolutely don't matter
and
at
that's,
all.
That's shocking to me.
But
that's surprising to me because there's so much time and money invested in these and they make it such a big deal about it. And then why even have them then?
Ultimately,
if you're not going to get a team in the play, that was the whole ramification for.
Clearly, the Big Ten would have been better off not playing the title game because Wisconsin gets in with not for loss to Ohio State. They're in.
Mm-hmm.
No question they're in.
Yeah, because they were number
and
four
Alabama's
in
not
the rankings.
So I think I think everybody should revisit this.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a better idea is play a 13th game, get rid of the playoff title games and move on. That'd be more money guaranteed for everybody every year.
Just. I mean, get rid of conference games and just
title games.
Conference title games, and instead just start with eight teams that are put in by committee.
Well, I think maybe that's the way to go. But I really like the idea of what Pat Fitzgerald said this year. He would like to see 10 Big Ten games every year. I would love that. 10 would be awesome.
And then how do you determine your champion?
Well, you're almost playing everybody. So if you have 10, you're playing as many as you can.
And just but the best record wins?
Yeah, best record wins.
So if you do a 13-game regular season schedule, you just play everyone in the Big Ten.
You got almost.
There you go. If you do a 13-game regular just who cares about?
Because the Big Ten's not done expanding.
That's
they're going to 16 soon.
Okay.
Next one will be, or who will they join? Who will be in?
I like the whole Oklahoma-Kansas thing. I think that's a great idea.
That'd be very intriguing.
I like that too, bud.
Pretty cool.
All right.
I love the pick.
In 10 seconds, what are you guys working on for this weekend?
All area high school volleyball or high school football is in Sunday's, half of Sunday's sports section. And got Central Danville boys basketball tonight and plenty of Illinois coverage as well.
Anything for you, Bob?
My Heisman pick is going in Sunday's paper. Take care.
All right.
Let's see if you agree.
That's called a tease. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, everybody. Short show today. Congratulations to Illinois volleyball. Successful season. And best luck as they move forward. Unfortunately, they bow out today to Michigan State. Illinois basketball tomorrow night, 9:30. Game day starts tomorrow night. 11 p.m. is the tip. We'll talk to you then. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. Time at the tone is 6 o'clock. Good night.